in open session, and we are going to 10.2.2. And who's taking the lead on this one? Alex? Okay, go ahead, Alex.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Tina, can you switch to the Teams view? So we have in your package a report on a lending program, specifically what parameters council might like to consider. And this is to address homes that have dry wells. So just by way of background, periods of dry weather have been increasing in Nova Scotia since at least the 2010s. Environment Canada is projecting about a 1/3% increase in precipitation deficits by 2050, and this is in relation to climate change. Council has been providing temporary relief for residents through our coupon program, also access to showers during dry weather. Just on a side note, we are prepared to launch that program early this year. Normally it hasn't started until August. May was expected to be above average precipitation month, but in fact was far below average, so we were in a precipitation deficit. We've contacted all the retailers and have the program ready to launch, including the ability for councillors to provide the coupons directly to save a trip to the municipal office.
That's so much better, yeah.
We're just waiting to see if the rain over the weekend has had an impact, and the forecast does look to be wetter in reality for June. So we may not need to launch it immediately. But council has been running the program since 2016 in years that it was required. And in February of 2023, council directed staff to look into a possible financing program for a potable water supply. So that's the impetus for this presentation. Well, financing programs in Nova Scotia are authorized by the MGA. Most of the bylaws that we reviewed were limited to owner-occupied residential properties. They require taxes to be paid in full on those. They use a relatively broad definition of what's included in a water supply upgrade. Most of them are offering 10-year terms and interest rates ranging from 2 to prime plus 2, which today is around 9%. And some have included the provision to allow loans for projects that were recently completed. I do want to give credit to Xander as well. He did the bulk of the research on the jurisdictional scans and did a fine job of it.
Good job, Xander.
So this is just a summary of that material, and it's available in your packages. So what I'd like to do with the Finance Committee today is have a look at the parameters that staff are recommending for inclusion in an MODL program. If council's comfortable with those parameters, then we can have a draft bylaw for your consideration at next week's council meeting. If there are significant revisions, we may have to wait till the second council meeting in June. We are hoping that we can have this bylaw passed in order for it to be in place this summer, which would allow some residents, if they so desired, to participate this year. So in terms of eligibility, we are recommending that you require a pre-existing residence. So the intention is not for this to help finance a new home. This is for homes that are already experiencing this issue. And again, owner-occupied. So this isn't for income properties. This is for someone experiencing the issue in their own home. Some of the definitions that we've seen include a cap. So if, for example, there's a second property using or a second dwelling using the home, a second dwelling using the well, that wouldn't exclude the property, but anything beyond that would be beyond the scope of the program. And then we're suggesting, like other units, you require that all outstanding taxes be paid, but not require a credit check. So this is in line with the other bylaws in the province. It's also in line with how you administer your clean energy financing program. We would also suggest you use a broad definition for what would count as a water supply upgrade. So this could be the digging or drilling of a new well. It could be collection systems for rainwater and cisterns for holding tanks. It could be water pumps and lines, electrical connections, or broadly speaking, any other system or equipment designed to improve the supply, use, and conservation of potable water. In terms of the financial parameters, we're recommending that there's a hard cap of $20,000. This is larger than most of the other bylaws. However, most of them were written before the pandemic, and the cost of the wells upgrades are generally above the $10,000 limit that's in place in most of those bylaws. We would also suggest you include an additional cap, like you do with your clean energy financing, that if it is a lower assessed property, you have another provision there to ensure that the municipality isn't exposed to risk of not being able to collect through the tax sale process. So you would cap it at the lesser of $20,000 or 15% of the assessed value of the property. And we're recommending a 2% interest rate, which is not out of line with other bylaws and aligns with your clean energy financing program. As for administration, we would again recommend that you go with administration through the Clean Foundation. So just like the clean energy financing, a resident could contact us or the Clean Foundation directly. The homeowner would be guided through the application process. They would make the selection on the final improvements being made and hire the contractor themselves. The Clean Foundation would approve the invoices and simply hand over a final invoice amount to the municipality. And from there, MODL finance staff would administer the loan. The cost for this is $650 per loan that would be charged. In terms of how to recoup that cost, currently you include in the clean energy financing cost, you include the $250 of that $650 recovered from the homeowner. So on top of the actual cost to improve the home, $250 administration fee is applied. The remaining $400 is covered by grants that the Clean Foundation is able to secure for energy efficiency purposes. So there are no offsetting grants, and we're recommending that to keep it in line with the clean energy financing program, you include that additional $400 in your budget for a program for dry wells. So this would keep it the same as the clean energy financing program. You also do have the option to either fully waive the fee because people in this scenario are kind of in dire straits, or you could take the position that this is a private infrastructure improvement, so the homeowner should bear the full cost of that, so you could charge the full $650. One final point, we're suggesting that you allow for some cross-marketing. So if somebody approaches the municipality and enters into the program in order to get water supply upgrades, if those don't take the full amount of that loan, we suggest that you allow them in the same process to do some energy efficiency upgrades. This would allow you to get a little bit further along on your climate change improvements, but keep that hard cap. So no matter what improvements they do, $20,000 would be the maximum amount that you would loan. And it would have to be done at the same time and form a single loan, because from administrative point of view, it is it's difficult for the municipality to administer the loans, and it is significantly more difficult when there's more than one loan. So we've prevented now, if you have a LAHAVE loan, for example, you can't also have a clean energy financing loan. And similarly here, we wouldn't allow for another loan to be created. So it would be some clean energy upgrades that would go along with your well upgrade, but it would be a single loan. So those are the parameters that we're considering. We'd love to have some discussion or questions from council members, and then if we're on board, then we'll look for a motion to proceed with first reading next week.
Councilor Hoobley, Deputy Mayor Hoobley.
That was fast. So are you telling us that the province doesn't require a credit check? Did I understand that in your presentation?
In terms of the enabling legislation, no, there's no requirement for a credit
check.
Yep.
I disagree with that, and I'll sound like a broken record from the last time.
Yes.
I totally disagree with using the taxpayers' dollars and not taking some sort of responsibility for putting it out there. I'm proud of our programs, and I'm happy that we have them, but without a credit check, I don't support it.
Yeah. It's definitely a parameter that council could include, and the merits of that is that it gives you that extra comfort that the individual will be able to pay it back. In terms of risk to the taxpayer, it's very low because we have the tax sale process, which is not a pleasant process. So you have to bear that in mind, that you're putting that risk is going on the homeowner themselves. Something to consider for this program is that the uptake has not been enormous in other municipalities. The biggest program is, I believe, in Argyle, where they've had 42 participants, but they've been running since 2017. So you're looking at maybe half a dozen participants a year in a big year. And this makes sense, because if you're a homeowner that has financial means and access to credit, you're not spending summer after summer not being able to flush your toilet, to do your laundry, to drink the water that's supposed to be coming out of your taps. You've addressed this issue. On the other hand, if you don't have the funds to make that payment, you're still not going to qualify. You might be using our coupon program, but you simply don't have the means to make those payments. So this program is not of interest to you. It's a narrow slice of residents who have the financial means to make the payments but don't have access to credit that the program is for.
So my question is, how do you know they have means to make the payment if you're not doing a credit check?
It's a fair point. You don't have that data point. You're relying on them to have an understanding of their own finances.
Yes, in most cases, I agree that people do manage their money, but in some cases, I mean, you look at the economy today, and you fill your gas tank, or you go to the grocery store. I really don't believe that what they save, I don't believe that will go towards the payment in some situations. So just my personal opinion.
Mayor Bolovic-Getson?
Thank you. And I guess we've tried the PACE program. I will go back to that one over the years different ways. We started it without the credit check, and we had huge uptake on that. We put the credit check in place, and unfortunately, the program was underutilized. So the individuals that actually required it were unable to get that assistance. We took that away and changed it here in the last year or so. And the uptake is back again. We've raised the amount of money that they can actually access to. And again, the one thing that municipalities do have is you have that collateral damage of a property, which hopefully we never have to implement to do that. There is a need for this program. I don't think it's huge at all, but I do know that we have regular residents that are using the water coupon, and if this is an avenue, I've been speaking to one in Councillor Wynot's area about a program that we were looking at without knowing parameters around it, but they're patiently waiting to see if it's something. And again, it's individuals who, yes, I believe have the financial means to do a program, but it's a single mom that may not have that capacity from a borrowing institution. So whatever we can do to help residents out to stay in our municipality and to be able to do this and still respect, yes, this is taxpayers' money, I get that. But the forfeiture of these loans, do we have a high amount? Do we have individuals at this time?
Elena, you could correct me if I'm wrong. I remember we did run into
one
issue.
We had one, I know, right from
the
very start.
Early.
Yeah.
And since then, I believe we're not in that situation.
No, but nor have we really set up any loans under the new clean energy program. Since we removed the credit check, we've only had one loan secured, I think. We have lots of people in the queue and lots of people, you know, that we're doing arrears checks. I know they're working on it, but it's taken some time for that kind of to roll out. So I can't speak to the future of it, but I can. Yeah. And anyway, so I can't. I don't have any numbers right now for your information.
Okay, so we have Councillor Haysom, Councillor Greek, Councillor Staton, Councillor Bell, and Councillor DeLong. Okay.
Thank you. Are there any requirements? Will there be any requirements for this program to, like, limit how much people can spend? Like $20,000 is the... can only be, you know, 75% of the cost, or I don't know, are there any limitations? If there is a solution that costs $40,000 and they're able to come up with or finance it in some other way, I'm just wondering, do you see what I'm asking? I don't know. Are there limitations about how much a system can cost? Does the maximum cost have to be $20,000? Can it be additional and we pay 20 and they make up the difference?
I think the way that the language that we've looked at in the bylaws is that you're not limiting the maximum cost of the project, you're limiting the maximum cost of the loan. I think in practice there's not going to be I think it would be hard-pressed to find a scenario where someone's going to invest double that amount, for example.
Maybe it can just, like in terms of clean energy financing, they have requirements about the time it takes, the return on investment for those energy upgrades or... Yeah. Clean energy financing has different requirements, I suppose.
Yeah, it does. Because there's no cost savings on the other side. In fact, you may see an increase in, for example, electricity usage because you have a new pump system. It doesn't work the same way. Unfortunately, it's not a, it's a less elegant design because the clean energy program has offsetting savings. But we don't have the. It's not expected that there's going to be a lot of solutions which will be over that $20,000 amount, anyways.
Okay, Councillor Greig.
Can we go back a couple slides to the list of what all it would include? Thanks. I just want to have another look at that. I love this. You never know when you're having a bad day and you'll need it. So I just wanted to see that.
Okay.
Councillor Greig, Councillor Statton.
I think it's a great project. I already have one request for someone waiting for this to be approved. It's a single mother. But I'm just wondering why we're saying dug well. They tend to go dry, and that's what this lady has, a dug well, and it's dry every summer. She depends on water coupons. So why would we even put that option in there for to dig a well? It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. When you could go the full route and have it done properly?
Yep.
I would answer that too, after you.
the option is there in the event that a drilled well is not an appropriate solution in that scenario. For example, if, you know, we have the, there was a property down in Garden Lots that came to our attention where it wasn't possible to drill a well. Proximity to the ocean and geological features meant there was too much salinity that would inflow into it. And it looked like the most appropriate solution there would have been a cistern and rainwater collection system. But there could be a scenario that we don't want to, through the language in our bylaw, limit the most appropriate solution if, for example, an enhanced dug well would provide the best water supply to that property.
Okay.
Thank you.
Councillor Bell.
Thank you. And just to what Councillor Statton said, in Conquerall Bank, you can't drill wells because you get salt water. I own two of them, and so I spent $30,000 for nothing. I have a dug well. That's where I get my water. And other people in my neighborhood have run into the same thing. So we probably have to leave that option available in some districts. But generally what you're saying is true, but there are areas that it won't work. In general, I like this program. and if a property value is good to guarantee back on the market, recouping your money, that might go so far as why the no credit check, but I must say I really don't like that aspect of it, but I do understand this is supposed to be a benefit program. A question I have, does this have to be your primary residence? I don't want rental properties to be included in the program. Maybe you said that, but...
Owner-occupied is a requirement.
Okay. And if your income is over a certain value, would you be restricted from participation? Because there's a lot of federal programs that are available, but if you make a certain amount over, you don't qualify. I sometimes think that that is... I'm not always in favor of that. A benefit should be available to everybody. And the service fee of $650, I consider very reasonable for a program like this. I don't feel I want to supplement $400 or make it free. If you're going to take advantage of a 2% finance program, I think you can pay the $650.
Thank you, Councillor DeLong.
Thank you. I just want to clarify something I heard our finance director say. So we do arrears checks. Are there other methods that we're employing that would potentially replace the need for a credit check?
No, there is not. We only do an arrears check to make sure their taxes are paid. Mm-hmm. We don't do anything else.
Okay.
And so those taxes could be paid by a mortgage company, for example. Like, we don't check to see who pays it. Okay. We just know that they're paid. So they're not in arrears mm-hmm. on our system. So we're using that as, yes, if you're not, if you don't owe taxes, then you certainly have the capacity to have a loan.
Okay. Just quick follow-up. When we administer a PACE program loan, are we educating the residents on the dangers of a property lien or a tax sale and such? Do they fully understand what they're signing up to?
It's my understanding that they do. If they default on the loan, the loan that they have, it would immediately revert to a lien on the property. It's in their paperwork. They have to sign off actually on that paragraph. Like, not only is it in the body of the document, but they actually have to sign on that paragraph too, so that they've read it. And if someone missed a payment, the first thing we would do is say, "Oh, you have missed a payment. Did you know that if you can't get that payment made, we'll have to invoice this and it'll be a lien on your property?" So we certainly, you know, we give them a chance if they've had a payment missed to come in and pay it. We don't just automatically lien them, but that's what we do.
Okay, so I think council has... Oh, Councilor Bino.
I just have one question. Does the money go to the contractors or does it go to the homeowners and we just hope that... it goes where it needs to go. Can you just touch base on that that program and how that works?
Yeah, that's part of the service the Clean Foundation provides. We make sure that the money goes to the contractor. And just regard to Councillor Bell's question, there's no maximum cap. There's no income test whatsoever, low or high.
Okay, so I think that we have given enough information to staff to go away and... draft.
We did have it sounded like we are fine with all of the parameters, although Councillor Bell raised a question about the administrative fee. I need some clarification. Is that the wish of the committee?
$650?
Yeah,
versus $650 okay with recommended.
I like the recommended.
It is, pardon me?
I like the recommended what Alex brought forward.
And that was $650, right?
No,
$250 and then $400.
You can see that.
Oh, right.
Staff are recommending you use $250 per participant, which aligns with clean energy financing.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So your option is to not charge any fee because households in this scenario are in dire straits.
Right.
Or to charge the full amount on the rationale that it's private infrastructure, so the homeowner should finance it fully.
Okay, Mayor Balavagetson. And I guess the only reason that's there like that, the $400 is currently being covered under the PACE program by the provincial portion. So,
Okay, so I need I need clarification. Do you want the $250 and then the $400, or do you want the $650 altogether, Councillor Haysom?
I support the staff recommendation.
And that's the $250 plus MODL cover the $400, correct? Councillor Bell?
I'll support the $250 as long as the province has the other amount in place?
They don't for this, only for the PACE.
Oh, well, then I'm supporting the 650 because we're giving them a 2% rate.
Okay. Mayor, Deputy Mayor Hobley?
650.
Mayor Bolivar Getson?
I can go either way.
Are you keeping track of this?
I just caught up. I will go with the 650.
650?
Yeah.
Councilor Vino? Councilor Buona?
650.
Councilor DeLong?
Staff recommendation.
Councilor Greek?
Staff recommendation.
Same.
Staff recommendation and staff recommendation. So.
I said I could go either way.
I said throw a credit check in there and I'll go for anything.
So we're going with staff recommendation? Is that what came through?
No, it was a tie.
Oh, it was a tie. Oh, it was a tie.
You have to put a motion on the floor.
So how many people we got? Oh, we got 10. Okay.
You got to have a motion.
All right. No problem. I just wanted to, before I made the motion, I just wanted to make sure that Alex had direction of what was we wanted in the bylaw. All right. So at this point, I'm going to ask Councilor Vino to put this motion on the floor. 10.2.2.
Certainly. To the chair and members of Finance Committee, I move that the Finance Committee direct staff to prepare a draft household water supply financing bylaw for council consideration, and I so move.
Moved by Councillor Vino, seconded by Councillor Wynot. Discussion. And isn't it?
So practically speaking, this will likely actually be housed in your fees policy. So it will be referenced to an administrative fee, and then we will amend the fee policy when we get to second reading. So we can wait for Wendy to come back, and she can be the deciding vote.
Perfect.
Good idea.
Okay, that sounds good. Okay, any more discussion on the motion? Ready for the question. All those in favor? Motion carried. Opposed? Opposed is Deputy Mayor Hubley, and motion is carried. Okay, now we are going on to 10.2.3, policy 045, salary administration, four-year review. And we have
I'm
a
going
conflict.
To declare a conflict of interest, from, and somebody will have to come into the office to get me.
Mayor Bolivar gets him.
It's open session, so you can go.
No.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay, Alex.
So just by way of quick background, council's policy that governs salary administration requires a review of the system for compensating your staff at least once every 4 years. So this is a report bringing forward recommendations coming from that. In the last fiscal year, council had money in the budget, and we went through with the procurement of an HR firm to provide that independent analysis. It included comparing 35 comparator positions across the three municipalities that partnered in the project to gauge our current salary structure against the market. 20 comparators were approached and 13 provided response. Overall, the consultant's findings were that the current system of pay and benefits has remained competitive since the previous review, which was completed in 2018. They did identify a couple of adjustments, both to the very top of the salary scales and then at the bottom. And we have further expanded the scales to include one band for 35-hour-a-week employees and another one for 40-hour-a-week employees. They also included a review of benefits and identified that the municipality was at or above average on most of those, although they did identify that starting vacation was slightly below. So we've referred that to the review of the personnel policy, which is also due this year. There were a few recommendations that staff are suggesting not be included from KBRS. The first was expanding the range of salaries for directors, which would have resulted in an additional cost for the municipality without the same justification for performance that the consultants had suggested based on our current performance appraisal system. They had also suggested eliminating the wage scale for laborer positions and simply paying a flat rate. We don't recommend you pursue this as it doesn't reward staff for performance, no incentive for a laborer to return. Particularly, we have seasonal laborers doing some of this work. It would not be beneficial in terms of being able to retain those employees season over season. And they did suggest that we switch to a three-year review cycle as opposed to a four-year review cycle and move away from the CPI indexing. Staff don't recommend you pursue this. Given that their primary finding was that the system is working, we don't suggest you amend the system. So we've included a draft set of revisions here. You can see in your package there's the original policy unamended. Then we have a document showing all of the track changes and then a cleaned up version. The primary things to highlight here are we did lots of revisions to improve housekeeping, meet new accessibility standards for our documents, and then some of the substantive changes were adjustment to the cost of living section, section 8. So this is revised to align with the provincial CPI measure, not the national measure, which had been included in previous versions of the policy. There's some language that explains the creation of a new position to clarify and state that council has to authorize the creation of any new permanent position and requiring consistent procedures from the CAO in order to complete the process to develop a position, assess it, and then post it. And then finally, the scales are provided in this version of the policy from council via motion, which will save having to revise future policies when you do these four-year reviews, and keeps outdated scales out of the document. So currently, there's a 2018 scale published in your policy, which is no longer in effect. It's now 5 years out of date. So doing it by motion allows you to do that without having outdated scales left in the policy. In terms of implementation, so the draft results were presented to council in camera. We then had a presentation to staff. The only significant commentary we got back was the review is required once every 4 years. And so we're suggesting to, in order to comply with that, we make the changes effective April 1st rather than on the date that the motion is passed.
Okay. All right. Any discussion? Questions? Okay, I will then ask Deputy Mayor Hobley to put this motion on the floor, please.
Thank you. To the Chair and members of Finance Committee, I move that the Finance Committee recommend to Council that Municipal Council repeal MODL Policy 045, Salary Administration, approved June 11th, 2019, and replace it with new policy MODL 045, Salary Administration, and hereby gives 7 days' notice of its intention to approve the proposed new policy at the June 13th, 2023 Council meeting, and further, that the policy be effective as of April 1st, 2023, and I so move.
Seconder? Seconder? Seconded by Councillor Bell. Discussion? Councillor Bell.
Just a question. MODL 045, is the old policy and new policy identified by date as a go-forward basis? Because the motion reads with 045 in both referring to the old policy and the new policy. So I just want to make that clarification that it's based on date.
Yeah. The new numbering system, so this will replace it. So if there's a question of interpretation, then we can use the dates to do that. I believe Byung-Jun also inserted letters in the... Oh, that's for bylaws. Sorry. Do you want to answer for me there, April?
When we amend policies, the numbering system continues on. It's the date that is reflective and attached to the documents. That is what's being implemented.
Okay, any more discussion? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor? Motion carried unanimously. Are you going to get Carolyn?
I am.
Thank you. And right now we are going to go in camera. So a motion to go in camera. Moved by Councillor Haysom, seconded by Councillor Wynott. All those in favor?
Motion carried unanimously.